Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300. This is where a lot of Christians find themselves tempted to cave in. It's one thing to think about what the Bible teaches about homosexuality, to get that clear in your mind, to understand that, yes, it is a sin like all other sins, and it is one that is quite clearly addressed in Holy Scripture, in spite of what so many in liberal Christianity in the world would say. It's quite clearly addressed, and it has not changed. As much as the culture has changed on the issue of homosexuality in the last 50 years, scriptural teaching and the position of the church hasn't. But then it's your son, or your cousin, or a friend of a friend, or more than one, or a fellow member in the church, and you're tempted to cave in, and you don't know what to do. You've got your teaching straight. But how do you address that person that you know, that person you have eaten with, and that person that you have talked to about so many things? How do you talk to them about this? How do you address their life, their choices, and their sin with the Word of God when the temptation is to cave in and to say nothing at all? Joining us to talk about homosexuality in the home for the next few minutes of Issues, Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, October the 9th, Pastor Ryan Ogrodowicz. He is pastor of Victory in Christ Lutheran Church in Newark, Texas, and author of an article in the most recent Higher Things magazine titled Homosexuality in the Home, The Christian in Crisis. Pastor Ogrodowicz, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's one thing to talk about these things in theory, in the abstract, but when it's someone you love, someone you know, a friend that is struggling with the sin of homosexuality or is engaged in that sin, you say it's important to remember that not every sinner is the same. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, right. What I mean by that is even though scriptures are very clear, all have sinned and fallen short the glory of God. No one living is righteous before our holy and righteous God. There are those sinners who are very much content with their unbelief. They're very happy practicing their sin, and they have no desire for the healing that is ours in Jesus Christ. And so there are those in that category. On the flip side, however, there are those who are struggling with vice, struggling with affliction, very much caught up in a transgression, yet at the same time, they are believing and clinging to Jesus Christ. The faith is there. They believe in their Savior while caught in a vice and affliction that is trying to pull them away from the kingdom of God. So you see sins on both sides. Only one is very content in his or her unbelief, while the other one is does have faith, clinging to Jesus Christ, only at the same time they're wrestling with vice and affliction.
So, on the one hand, to deal with that first category, is the person who may be advocating the homosexual lifestyle, they may either think it isn't a sin or doesn't care if it is a sin. What's the best way to approach such a person who says, look, I don't think what I'm doing, the way I'm living, is wrong at all?
Right. The person in that category, the person who is just unrepentant, just sitting back, taking it easy, very comfortable, you know, starting with them, you would want to show them what the scriptures say about this and what God's word has declared concerning those who practice in an unrepentant way any number of sins, one being homosexuality. So, you know, starting with God's law, starting with his commands, how the Christian ought to live, and taking them through the passages that show this lifestyle, this unrepentant lifestyle, is not compatible with God's word, and that is not how our Lord and Savior has instructed us to live.
That's a pretty complicated task. I mean, there's likely to be a lot of required remedial conversation before you get to the nuts and bolts of it. Would you agree?
Absolutely, without a doubt. I mean, every situation is different, and I think most any pastor would tell you every patient, if you will, requires certain treatment. It takes time. It's not just a sit-down, one-time, fix-it-and-you're-done process. But, yeah, a lot of remedial conversations would take place. And even though, I want to throw this in there, too, as you're speaking God's law to them and showing them what God's Word says on this, I want to emphasize that does not have to be in an angry manner. I mean, you can speak the law and give a defense of the hope that is within you in a gentle and respectful manner, while also conveying to them you are doing this not out of a self-righteous, pompous type attitude, I'm better than you, not at all. You're doing this because you want to help them. You want to see them, by God's grace, brought to the faith and receive the healing they need in Jesus Christ. So this is not to be done out of a self-righteous, in a self-righteous manner, but in a way that you do want to help them. And it can be done gently. It can be done gently.
Does it help to acknowledge at the very beginning that while you are attempting to address, out of Christian love, their sin, you yourself are afflicted and struggle against your sins as well?
Absolutely. No doubt about it. I mean, when the scriptures speak and say all have sinned, it means exactly that. All have sinned and fall short the glory of God. So, right. You even as a pastor, you have your own sins, your own desires that you wrestle with. So, it's certainly not to come across to them as if, you don't deal with sin the way they do. Sure, the old Adam manifests itself in different ways, but absolutely, you too are condemned under the law and need a Savior just like they do.
What is the danger of someone saying, in that case of the person who either through ignorance or through outright denial says, what I'm doing, the way I'm living as a homosexual, is not wrong? What's the danger of saying, of just letting that go and say, okay, I'm going to choose my battles and I choose not to fight that battle today with this person that God has put right in front of me on this occasion? It's not always time to address it, but when it is, what's the danger of just letting it slide?
Yeah, right. Well, you're by letting it slide and not saying anything, they may take it as if you are okay with it. You're affirming what they're doing as being okay. If the Christian does this, they may get the impression that, hey, this Christian is okay with this. They're overlooking the sin. It must not be a big deal. And so, I think the imagination can really run wild. I mean, the old Adam may take that as an opportunity to say, hey, they haven't said anything about it. I guess they're okay with it. I guess I can be okay with it, and that Christians don't really care that much. So, letting it slide, there is some danger there. You may be just implicitly telling them that it's okay, and so they're going to continue living the way they are.
Do you think that may account for the fact that not only with the sin of homosexuality, but things like cohabitation, sex outside of marriage, things like that, that the church has gone quiet on? So many people are under the impression that the Bible doesn't have anything to say about that, and Christians don't have anything to say about it, it must be okay.
Right. Whenever pastors start refraining from using, the second use of the law, that law that just crushes, the law that just points to you, shows you your sin, the law that makes you conscious of the transgression that you have committed. When pastors don't do that, it is easy for the hearer to get smug in a number of sins, and not just homosexuality. This issue goes beyond that. If you look at the vice list that Paul gives on this, he mentions a host of sins: thievery, sexual morality, you mentioned cohabitation, greed is one that Paul mentions. And so, yeah, whenever you're going light on any number of those sins and just not preaching the law to its fullest, it's easy for the old Adam to seize that opportunity and think, hey, it's okay what I'm doing. Pastor hasn't mentioned it. I'm not hearing the overall church talk about this issue. And, it's easy for the flesh to become very comfortable in that way.
With about a minute or so here before we take a break, there are, on the other hand, in the case of those who are struggling with the sin of homosexuality, who are really struggling against it, they know that what they are doing and how they are living is wrong, and they are beset by that temptation on a daily basis. How, with about a minute here before this break, how do we approach them?
Yeah, well, I think with sensitivity, being gentle, being compassionate, being patient, but also in that case, being ready and willing to proclaim the gospel. and the riches we have by being baptized children of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it's easy to get caught up in the rhetoric and think the posture of the church is just to condemn, and proclaim God's law and so on. But we have to be sensitive. There are those people who are really fighting this affliction. And when they come to you and they are repentant and confessing, that is the time to pour an absolution and direct them to Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins he has achieved for us by his cross and blood.
In the case of the homosexual who's struggling in this way, very often it is such a difficult struggle that they are tempted to simply give up. It is, at least I don't speak from experience, but from those who I've discussed it with, it is sometimes an impossible struggle. They seem to be struggling against the very essence of their being. Your pastoral thoughts there.
Well, absolutely. Homosexuality, I've seen it in alcoholism, and there are a number of vices. I mean, we want to understand, you know, the issue has come up every once in a while. Is this a choice that they consciously make? And we're dealing with something much deeper than that. I mean, St. Paul, he even says that it's the spiritual forces of evil, the cosmic powers of this darkness. I'm paraphrasing, but that's in Ephesians 6. I mean, it is a power that is much stronger than the flesh. So simply to say it's a choice, there's something more at play here. And, right, the temptation, the desire, it's going to be there. And I think it's also important to note that just because they receive the gospel and believe in it joyfully, that does not necessarily mean the desires and the temptations are going to go away. I mean, the old Adam will hang around our neck until our Lord takes us home. And so it's important to be mindful of that. We want them to receive the gospel, to know they are forgiven, but also warn them, too, that there is a good reason our Lord has instructed Christians daily to pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, because it's always there.
We're talking about homosexuality in the home, the challenge that faces Christians who want to speak the Word of God faithfully into that situation. Pastor Ryan Ogrodowicz is our guest. He's pastor of Victory in Christ Lutheran Church in Newark, Texas, and author of an article in the recent issue of Higher Things magazine titled Homosexuality in the Home, the Christian in Crisis. In the second hour of the program, Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morris is going to join us. We're going to be talking about the Christian divorce rate. It's often said that Christians divorce at exactly or even a greater rate than the general population. And while that may be true in some cases, depending on how you define Christian or who you regard as Christian, the detail is a little different than that, and we ought to take a look at it and why it's important that we keep our facts straight on that particular often cited demographic about divorce. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morris of the Ruth Institute will be with us in hour two, along with Pastor Tom Baker, who will join us to talk about, well, we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson. We'll be doing one of the ones that the kids often hear, the story of Gideon, the fleece. It's all there in Judges chapters 6 and 7, and that's all in hour two of Issues Etc. 10 more minutes with Pastor Ryan Ogrodowicz on homosexuality in the home right after this.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
This is Pastor Jeff Siegel of St. Mary Evangelical Lutheran Church in Des Moines, Iowa, where God gathers us around his means of grace to offer us forgiveness, life, and salvation. Whether you are looking for a church or just visiting Des Moines, if you like Issues Etc., St. Mary's is the church for you. Join us as we gather together every Sunday to continue the Reformation tradition of Christ-centered, cross-focused worship, preaching, and teaching. For more information, go to www.stmarylutheran.org. Remember to spell out Saint.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What is the biggest misconception about the worship wars? I've written an article for the latest issues, etc. journal titled Behind the Music, The Real Worship War. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues, etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also contains Hisham Chihab's article, From Muslim Extremist to Follower of Jesus. Subscribe to the online Issues, etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Coming Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 3 in the afternoon Central Time on November 2nd through 3 in the afternoon Central on November 3rd. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday afternoon, October the 9th. Pastor Ryan Ogrodowicz is our guest. We're talking about homosexuality in the home. Ryan, before the break, we spoke about the danger of letting it slide with people who are actually unaware of the sin that this lifestyle of homosexuality is. Now, in the case of the person who's struggling against it and realizes it's wrong, someone might say, look, they already know it's wrong. What's the danger of letting it slide in that case?
Well, I think they can just keep sliding and sliding until they're going to get back, into their old habits. And, I've heard stories of that happening where, a person struggling with same-sex desires, they come out of it for a while and they're doing good, but they relapse back into their old habits. And it's a process. I want to emphasize, this is not a quick fix, and it's really important when dealing with somebody like this that you're patient and you take time to deal with it because, again, if you turn your back, it's just very possible that the devil's going to grab them and just pull them right back into the throes of despair all over again.
Okay, we've talked about it again, trying to be as sensitive as we can to these two different situations that people who struggle with homosexuality find themselves in. But again, it is a little abstract. When it's actually done, this is very, very difficult. And many of our listeners who've tried this with loved ones will tell you, I just screwed it up. I think I just made it worse when I talked to them. I meant well, but it was hard to apply this law and gospel the way you're talking about it. Something going wrong?
No, not really. I would say join the club. I don't know of one pastor who would say, oh, yeah, I've nailed this. I get it right every time I preach God's word. No, it is difficult. I mean, when do you just lay it on thick with the law, and when do you pour on the gospel? But CFW Wather is helpful here. And in his Law and Gospel, he just flat out says, this is something that's taught by the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit's work. The wisdom to divide law and gospel and understand it comes from God himself. And as sinners, Todd, we're going to mess it up. I mean, it's just, it's inevitable. Try as we might, we're going to get in the way. And so it is not uncommon to walk away from a situation and think, oh, I didn't say enough, or I said too much, I was too bold, I was too shy, whatever. And for anyone who's, in that area, the gospel is very much for them. Their consolation comes not from, oh, I nailed it, I'm just this bright, sharp pastor. No, not at all. We too, we're turned back to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we go through the process of administering law and gospel, we always want to attribute the ability to do that to our Lord and our God.
Now, in that vein, this is kind of the thing, sometimes the thing where someone's too close to the situation to be able to do something about it. And I'm thinking there about a parent who has a kid who's struggling with this. And I want to talk about that in a minute, how it is very often something that they struggle with early in life, and then later they've either decided it's completely wrong or they've found some kind of some kind of comfort with their sinful lifestyle. This parent says, I've tried this as dad to my son, but he's not hearing the word of God from me. Somebody else is going to have to take up this conversation with him. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, well, I don't think that's a bad thing. I mean, for whatever reason, some people don't listen to others, and it could be a parent-child relationship. Maybe the child's being stubborn. And now, I don't think the parents should stop administering the Word of God. You know, I do think they should continue looking for opportunities to proclaim the Word. They may not see the results visibly, but that does not mean that the Word of God is not working. And in the meantime, if I was a parent, I would try to find someone that I trust and maybe bring them in, too, in hopes that maybe their child will listen better to an outside person. So, yeah, I would just, you know, have the parent keep at it, keep proclaiming, because, you know, even as a, I think any pastor will tell you, you don't always see the fruits, you don't always see the results. That certainly doesn't mean God's Word is not working upon that person. And then, yeah, in the meantime, pull in someone else if you think they're faithful and they're going to say something that's in harmony with your Christian confession. I don't see a problem with doing that.
It seems in the case of homosexuality that we're talking here about a long-term thing. This is something a little more elemental to a person's being than simply being temporarily tempted by something. It's something that the church may have to commit to this person for their entire life. Why is it important that we start early with the young people who are still deeply struggling against that temptation to sin, Pastor Grotowicz?
Right. You know, Todd, we have to keep in mind that children are sinners. Children suffer with concupiscence. For those of your listeners who don't know what that means, it's the desire to sin, the desire for wickedness and unrighteousness. That is very much inborn and even an infant. And that's hard for many Christians to hear, the idea that, you know, a cute, cuddly little infant could be sinful. But the scriptures are very clear about that. We come into this world born in iniquity, and therefore we want to, you know, if sin is the issue, even for a young child, we want to get them the healing, cleansing, and forgiveness of sins there in Jesus Christ. We want to get that to them immediately and not delay, not withhold it, not withhold baptism from them until they're, you know, 8, 9, or 10. They need Christ. They need Jesus immediately, and just postponing the gospel for them, it can have devastating results. I mean, the old Adam can just fester and grow, and, you know, it is not uncommon to hear about young children having these desires. I came across a study the other day, and one person was trying to argue that as early as 3 years old, sexual orientation can be known. And, you know, that kind of stopped me in my tracks a bit, but you know, if we see what the scriptures say about original sin, it shouldn't be all that mind-blowing when we see that just right out of the chute, we come into this world as sinners desiring to do sinful things. And so the desire of homosexuality is just one more way that the old Adam in all of us manifests itself.
Why is it important that when having these conversations that we've talked about, whether it's with the adamant person who is convinced that this isn't sin, or have convinced themselves that it isn't sin, or the person who knows it is and struggles mightily against it, that we just calm down and turn the shock level down and say, you know, there's really nothing here that you can tell me about what you're struggling against that's going to surprise me or cause me any kind of shock. Don't worry about being embarrassed about this. Why is that so important?
Well, you know, they need to know that upon confession, when you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from unrighteousness. No matter what that sin is, when you confess it, God has given you a promise for forgiveness. And so, indeed, it is important to convey to them. Don't be embarrassed. You know, the sin you are wrestling with, there's no temptation that is uncommon to man, 1 Corinthians 10. We might like to think it's a little weird or a little uncommon, but, you know, St. Paul is very clear. Whatever temptation you're going through, it is not uncommon. And, you know, cling to God's promise. And his promise is, you know, upon your confession, you will receive forgiveness. And, yeah, no need to be shocked. And, you know, yeah, and conveying that to them, that they don't need to be embarrassed about this. They're wrestling with sin. Just like every person wrestles with sin, that's the problem. Now here's the solution.
And what should they know about the church? What should we be telling them about the body of believers that gathers on Sunday morning that many people, both those not struggling and those struggling, think is a group of holier-than-thous or hypocrites or people who are actually pulling off the victory against the struggle that they themselves find so hard.
Yeah, I always tell people that this is like a hospital. This is a place where sinners come. This is a place where people sick with sin come to receive the physician who is our Lord Jesus Christ. So it is precisely because we struggle with sins and iniquities and the old Adam. It's because of that we come to the place, gathered around word and sacrament with the body of believers. The worst thing someone could do is think the church is only for perfect people. Are people holier than me, and therefore, I'm going to taint the presence of everybody if I walk into the doors, or the roof is going to fall in on my head. No, not at all. That is the place where sinners gather to receive God's abundant forgiveness through Jesus Christ. It's a place where we come to confess our sins and receive the healing we need. And so, right on. I mean, that needs to be put before them. And the last thing they need to do is think the church is a place only for perfect people. It's a place for sinners, where sinners come and receive what our Lord has promised to give them.
Pastor Ryan Ogrodowicz is pastor of Victory in Christ Lutheran Church in Newark, Texas, and he's authored an article in the recent issue of Higher Things magazine titled Homosexuality in the Home, The Christian in Crisis. You can read this article under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Ryan, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for October is actually a 4-CD set, and the title says it all, Martin Luther, Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth. It is the hymns and the ballads and the chants of Martin Luther, a great portion of them, and it is all centered on that truth that he rediscovered from Holy Scripture, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, in Scripture alone. This is a great resource for you and for your family, this 4-CD set, Martin Luther, Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order it, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, we're going to talk about the real Christian divorce rate with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.